Yay.
You and I are matching again today. Yesterday was purple. Today it's cream. We're beige babes.
I love it. Let's keep it going. I like the uniformity.
Yeah. Wow. We are synchronized. And I feel like it's kind of because of today's topic is that we put in a lot of teamwork to actually be able to function individually. That, I don't know if that makes as much sense. Like when I was preparing that sentence, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great intro. And then I was like, oh, stupid. Okay, cool. Amazing. Well, how about this? How about I give a little Presbyterian 3-point sermon outline? We're going to do a overview basically of how we really prepared for my 5.5-week sabbatical. And this was not just like a, oh, in the fall we were preparing. The story really starts 2 years ago. So I'll talk about how and why I prepared for this goal and what I did and what I learned during the sabbatical. And Audrey will also share what she learned and what she experienced during the sabbatical as well. And we realized in preparing for this and why we're doing it is for one, I really just thought, I always had this simple dream of one day I'm going to get married and I would love to be able to take like a 1-month sabbatical around that life change moment. And I started that dream 2 years ago and started actually preparing for it. And so I kind of just thought, oh, it might just be for me. You know, this is like a personal goal. But what ended up happening was so much more. And I love that it ended up being for the betterment of Audrey, I feel like our clients, and now it's going to have an even greater impact because of how she and I changed in our roles to prepare for the sabbatical is now enabling me to grow how I serve people even more by being able to start a new company. So all that to come. How about let's start with, well, any starting comments, Audrey? Do you want to chip in on why we're doing this episode, and then you'll come back around.
Well, I think
your closing.
Yeah, just hearing about your dreams of sabbatical and a break starting 2 years ago, and how, first of all, important that is just to rest, but also it sparked, I didn't even think about this correlation, but it reminded me of this dream or almost this fear that I had when I got into the working world after college, and I thought I had a month before I started my new job. Or I had about 2 months, and I was like, this is it. This is the last time I will ever have time off. And it was during COVID. So I was like, and I can't even do anything. It's over. I will never have a month off again for the rest of my life. And I've had this dream of hiking the Camino trail in Spain for a long time. And it takes, you know, there's different trails you can do, but a month, you know, about a month is what you need to hike it. And I had kind of forgotten about that dream, and just hearing you do that intro reminded me of that dream and also showed me that that fear that I had getting into the working world has kind of gone away now because you've showed this really great example of how to actually prioritize that rest and also that time to create new things as well, which comes out of rest as well. So that's cool.
That is so cool. Wow, that blesses the heck out of me. Like, I love hearing that because now you're reminding me of how I had that fear. Like, I seriously cried so hard when I graduated college. Like, I had a big crybaby moment because I was like, exactly what you said. I'm never really going to be able to have time off like this again unless I guess I like take maternity leave or something, but that's for a different purpose. It's not like, you know, a real summer, like wide open space kind of moment. And I don't even know if I'm like allowed to want that. And so if anybody resonates with having that feeling, or like that's something for kids and not for grownups, I am really excited to get more into how I think that this ended up being for the glory of God and the good of others and not just like benefit to self. So I'll dive right into the how and why I prepared for this. Like I mentioned, about 2 years ago, I came in contact with the book Clockwork, How to Design Your Business to Run Itself by Mike Michalowicz. So I started the Called Career 6 years ago. So this is already in for plenty of that time. I think I, of course, dreamed of like, you know, the classic business success, being able to scale and really just be in a visionary role and not have to be in the weeds. But I didn't know how or when that was ever going to come. But when I heard about this book and I read it, and by the way, Mike Michalowicz, he's an amazing author, and I love getting the audio version of all his books, particularly because he's super funny and he'll just riff off. And his mission is to abolish entrepreneurial poverty. Literally, how cool is that mission statement? That he's like, he at the beginning of a lot of his books shares all these stats about how starting a small business in many ways kind of looks like being enslaved to it. Like, you actually have a lot less time off, you have less security, you have more scarcity, more stress, just all things that we don't want. And so his books are so straightforward and helpful. Like, I got the hardback version and the audio version and the like online resource version, so that I could really implement the tools one by one. So 2 years ago, I was like, okay, I am going to need to identify what he calls like the queen bee function. Like, what do I truly bring to the business? And what am I just doing because I feel like I have to? And so I identified what I thought was my core skill set, and I started practicing delegating, which was so freaking terrifying, because I wonder how much people resonate with this when they hear it, but it is really, really easy to be accidentally like really egotistical around like, no, I'm the person that knows like exactly how I want it. And this might go wrong, or people wouldn't like it if I let this go, or it just wouldn't be coming from an authentic place, especially since for a long time, the call to career was actually just kelseykemp.com, and it was a personal brand business. I thought, how in the flip am I supposed to include other people in this? I don't even know, like, especially with not only the coaching, but I thought the marketing and writing things and creating things, it just seemed kind of impossible. But I was like, well, first off, the fact that I even have this business, it was really, really impossible sounding at first. So, you know, I might as well keep up the trend and keep on trying to do things that seem like too much to tackle. And so I started praying a lot about, oh gosh, it's just going to have to be like a unicorn person that is like willing to start part-time, ramp up to full-time, because the way the business was working, I just didn't have enough runway to like all of a sudden pay myself a livable wage and then also someone else, like basically double or triple the operating cost of the business overnight. And I needed someone else to be ramped up in like being included, building public and client trust. And I also needed them to be good at like operations. I wanted them to have a corporate background, but be like a kind of creative at heart and like a dreamer, but also a pragmatist and good at sales, but then also good at coaching. So like numbers, but then also like major soft skills. And we kind of told this story a little bit more in our intro episode together, where you got publicly announced as a part of the call to career. But I thought I found one other person that kind of matched it. And I was like, my heart just like quickened so much. And this was 6 or 7 months before I ever met you. And I thought, oh, it needs to work out with this person, because I've been praying for probably over a year and I still haven't quite met the person yet. And so when I met that person and I kind of extended the let's talk about this opportunity, it seemed promising. And then it ended up they had some other goals in life and they decided not to do it. And so then I had this like back to square one mindset where, by the way, it wasn't only about hiring. I like majorly had to get better at my own business acumen. I had to build up the business to be able to sustain other full-time employees, more systems, structure. None of that is a mystery. Of course, everyone assumes that you have to get better at systems and structure to be able to achieve this. But it was all in preparation and faith for one day meeting someone that would really be able to be a, a partner. And sure enough, I guess December 22, so about 6 months mm-hmm. after the other thing fell through, I met you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, she's here. Praise God. and so I just love, like, don't have a scarcity mindset about things with delegation and also with who you perceive to be like the archetype of the person in your mind of, it would have to be a perfect person like this. If you think you met that person and then it didn't work out, like, God's so big. So once I met you, I was like, wow, oh, that's so awesome. Then you and I, you worked with me part-time 6 months. And at this point, mm-hmm. I still didn't know, like, when I would be getting married. Like, when this goal started 2 years ago, there was not a suitor in sight. But I was just like, oh, one day I'm going to get married and one day I'll have kids. And when I have kids, like, I would want to take a maternity leave and maybe go down to being able to work even more flexible hours. And so I'm just going to start preparing in faith. And so then it's not until like a week after you went full time that I got engaged.
Yeah.
And we set our wedding date. And I was like, okay. And I think things were like so intense for both of us because we're like, major life change. Oh my gosh, this is so crazy that I'm not even sure. When did I bring up to you that I wanted to do a sabbatical? It wasn't in July. I feel like it was later.
I don't even know. Because
was like, it just might not be able to happen.
But yeah, but the funny thing is that I've never... I don't remember a time that we weren't talking about it.
Oh, okay.
So it
I just made it a part of my personality.
But even it's more like, it wasn't jarring to me to be like, oh boy, she's leaving for a month. I was like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Duh.
Wow, you are so gracious. And see, this is another point of why you're a unicorn, because I had another component of what I had to do to prepare was, of course, the mindset work. I thought Audrey's going to think that I'm, and clients, and really just anyone is going to think I'm a very selfish business owner, and being like Christian and mission oriented is really just like what she says on the outside. But she actually just wants to go be on a beach with like a little cocktail with an umbrella in it. And I thought, no, I need to have like that, like, every day is like bearing a cross kind of mindset, and or it needs to look like that. And Audrey's going to think that I don't want to support her, and I'm throwing her in too deep too early. And then everyone was cool about it.
So cool.
Like, how relevant, this is like actually really relevant to people in all walks of life. It's so easy to have a dream and then to come up with reasons as to why it's stupid and you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And part of it is not just the technical preparation to make the dream feasible. It's actually what would people think of me? Doesn't it always come down to that? What would people think of me?
Yeah.
We talk about that with our clients all the time.
All the time. And I'm thinking about what you just said about what you were afraid I was going to think, and that I'm thinking you're this selfish business owner, when in reality, the complete, I'm thinking about myself in the situation, of course, because that's what we find out. Everyone's actually just thinking about themselves and not thinking about you at all. So I was thinking like, oh my gosh, she's so trusting. She is so trusting of me and my abilities. I need to make her proud and make sure that she knows she can trust me. So interesting.
How amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I think this is what's coming up for me, which I'm so grateful that we're kind of doing this debrief on air. And it wasn't just that we had all the point prepared ahead of time. Like, this is truly debriefing and learning. I'm learning so much from you as you're sharing these things, because I am getting more and more convinced in life that when someone practices the freedom they have in Christ to just go for it, and realize that there's really not, in terms of career stuff, there's ethics and there's that kind of right and wrong. But in terms of your path, there's not really a right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The will, I have been meaning to read this book, but it's one of those that the title just gets you right away. The Will of God is a way. Mm. It's not a thing necessarily. It's a way of life,
yeah,
and your heart. And so I'm really feeling more convinced all the time that someone who goes after a dream is really encouraging other people along the
yeah
way. You're not shoving yeah other people down or looking like the selfish one per se. You're really yeah like helping people rise up.
Yeah. And then I also, that reminds me of one of my favorite prayers, and that's, hey God, I'm doing this. Let me know as I'm going, I'm taking those steps forward. And if it's wrong, please show me. If it's not your will, please show me, but I'm doing it. And that's where yes you actually see this action and being able to actually have momentum in your life rather than feeling in this cycle of being stuck. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that with clients all the time of like, take yeah that step. You got to take the step, because mm-hmm if you're looking for the right path and the right way to do things, you're never going to make that first move. And instead, just trust no that God's going to support you as you're moving forward. And that support might look like redirection, and that's great too, but you got to just move forward with it.
Just got to move forward. And the Tim Keller once said, if you want to find out the will of God, make a decision.
Mm.
Because more mm-hmm and more as you make decisions and see how it pans out, you will become the kind of person who with God makes wise decisions and becomes the yeah kind of person that through action he molded your heart. And he's doing it no matter what. God's will is more, he said, God's will is more something he does rather than what he gives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that spirit of freedom in Christ allows us to be the kind of person that worries less, trusts more, realizes that even if it looked like it all crashed and burned for a time, you always see a purpose. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, I'm not trying to ignore the complexities in life, but mm-hmm or the fact that we really don't understand. But I feel like as I lean more into the reality that I don't understand, God is the only one that understands all of his calling for every single one of us, billions on earth at each point of history. He's the only one who knows how it all works together. I'm just going to keep moving and working because my free will belongs to me and the consequences are something that, you know, I'll experience, but the outcomes belong to God. He's the one that's like making his will. No, it says in at the end of Job, Job says, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And that's true. And so anyway, and I'm just like, so just go. Which I think Jordan Rainer, I mean, it's not a podcast episode if I don't bring up Jordan Rainer, good grief. But my episode that finally got published with him last week, he's someone that helped me totally flip the way that I saw life from following the will of God and like following a calling in your career looks a lot less like freaking out over every detail, asking God, like, can you show me? Can you show me? Can you show me? And just like pray more for your heart and mm-hmm work on becoming more the kind of person that's like Christ. But in terms of like job A or job B, I don't know how much he cares. And so following the will of God made me more free and more of the person that he was called to be rather than more freaked out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we are kind of encountering people all the time who come to us because they're really freaked out and they even want to delegate their decision-making to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, oh, maybe like, you know, they're under submission to God. So maybe they could be like my career priest.
Yeah.
It's like, we're actually really just going to encourage you with good theology to mm-hmm. realize that you have a direct line to him and you could go, wow, okay, I'm going to shut up on that and get back to the, sorry for the long riff off. I know that we just talk about
that was good
all the time, but it really is. Once you realize your freedom to just go and follow dreams, it becomes something that you can't shut up about because mm-hmm. it's so cool to see what happens. So praise God. I'll say, getting back to, I guess this closing out this first section of why I prepared and how I prepared. Obviously, like every single week we were giving you something new to take responsibility in. And it was amazing to have an end date for my help. It made you, this is probably the time that's good to hear from your perspective, but mm-hmm. it made you think about like, oh, I'm not just going to wait until she says, okay, it's time for you to learn how to do interview coaching calls now. You were like, mm-hmm. I need you to give me the notes and I'm going to join your next one. And I'm going to freaking nail it next time. And so it was like the best thing to accelerate your growth. It was amazing. But what do you think? Like how was the preparation process for you? And I guess what encouragement would you turn that into for people in their jobs, either being the recipient of taking on more responsibility or also passing down, like training up the person behind you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple things that come to mind. First of all, deadlines are so important. And I think sometimes when we're trying to be creative, we think that we need to when we're trying to tap into our creative being more, we're like, okay, we got to get rid of down deadlines and restrictions so that I can just be free and open. But in reality, those deadlines and those restrictions are what create the space to really make moves in your creativity and your productivity. So that deadline was so important, and seeing that it was creeping up and trying to stay ahead of it. Also, because if we go back to what I was saying about how careful I was being about the trust that you had in me and how important that was to me to really hold that above a lot, and just knowing that like she's leaving her baby, her 6-year-old baby with me. And that's something that I've always been very aware of, like coming onto this team as well. And also the first thing I don't think I've shared this with you. The first thing anyone says to me when I tell them about this job that I'm in and how I got into it and the story behind it, which I'll tell anybody who listens to me. So anybody who has the audacity to ask me, how are you? I'll be like, let me tell you about my entire life change with this job. And the first thing they say is, wow, she must trust you a lot. And I do not take that for granted at all. And I think, you know, that's also why it's on my mind all the time. So I'm thinking, of course, about the deadlines and the preparation. But before all of that, it's, okay, how can I make sure that I honor the trust that Kelsey has in me to give her the safety of leaving in the mind, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Just the feeling that her baby is safe with me. That's really it. And just knowing that things aren't going to crash and burn while you're gone. And also knowing that they're not going to crash and burn because God is truly providing it all. And I was really focused on, okay, how do I show up every single day and work with excellence? How do I prepare to make sure that I can show up every single day and work with excellence? And that was a big kind of new year, new me thing as well. Just like, okay, hitting the reset on working with excellence and understanding more of what that looks like and how to be someone who works with excellence and what it means to actually do that. So a lot of the preparation was not just the practical preparation, but also the being preparation. How do I bring this all into transforming who I am as an employee to be someone that Kelsey can trust her business with?
Oh my gosh, you're so wise. Because everything comes down to who you're being. Mm-hmm. It's not really about just what outcomes you want. It's about who you're becoming and what kind of, when you think about your dreams and your goals or whatever outcome, impending sabbatical date, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you think about what kind of person would I have to be to crush it, to ace that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I had to be like a really trusting, delegating person that also, when I still had the time to, like when I was before the sabbatical, I would say, okay, you're going to take on all these things next, but what do you need from me in order to do that really well? And mm-hmm. Instead of just here's how, I'd be like, here's what you're doing. And then what do you feel like you need from me? Mm-hmm. And you would tell me. And that already practiced, gave more of a sense of like ownership than just like, here's the SOP every time. So, wow. As you were talking, I was like, how? I feel like this is so important that it was like a month long or 5 week sabbatical. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a vacation, because when teams try to go through this exercise, first, they're not going to, for someone who is just taking like a week or two off. Mm-hmm. All that's going to happen is everybody hates their job and is really stressed when somebody goes. Mm-hmm. But when someone practices, like a key player practices a month long commitment to being offline, everyone has to become the kind of person who is already ready for the promotion. And then we'll get into this, mm-hmm. but it really does change the team for what happens after the sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And that's what I am really, really excited for now, is this was so good for us, because during the sabbatical, since you got the test of like, okay, you're handling everything, we had a really great long debrief of like, what did you like? What did you feel really great at? What do you want to learn next? And what do you eventually want to get off your plate? Because mm-hmm. Lord knows, we're just going to replicate this as mm-hmm. we grow. And you get to be the kind of person that is weeding out, growing into the places that you want to, and delegating what you don't. And then we'll just let somebody else join the team. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a cool thing. So we are forever changed by this 5 weeks off. It wasn't just about a vacation. And similarly for me, I am not going back to a lot of the things that I delegated to you, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you just have them now. Mm-hmm. And I am instead asking, like, where do you really think that I need to show up? What do you think clients really want from me? Okay, I'll do those things. Otherwise, what else do I have to give? Mm-hmm. What do I want? What's my next dream? And now I just get to serve so many more people clients with the Call to Career, by the way, with the new platform that I'm creating. It raises all ships, like rising tides raise all ships. And so I think that a lesson I would distill again is always, no matter if you're taking a sabbatical or not, it's good stewardship as a follower of Christ in your career to always be training up the next person to mm-hmm. replace you. Don't have a scarcity mindset. Don't have like a, I just need to keep my job kind of situation. You're preparing them to become more of who they want to be, of always growing, getting the satisfaction of advancement. That's a key part of having a satisfying career, always advancing. And you get the same. You mm-hmm. get more freedom to say, okay, what's next? What do I want to do to build that? And I will say personally, what I learned during this sabbatical, in addition to all these things, is at first it is terrifying to let go. And then it's addicting. Terrifying. I used to be the kind of person that, even at the beginning, this isn't even that long ago, when we were getting into the groove of being a team, I would like review everything you wrote and then like rewrite mm-hmm. part of it. And now I'm not that annoying. I just genuinely let you write it.
That's funny. That's funny.
That is like training.
Yep.
But it's terrible as a manager if you just keep up with a micromanaging review of like every word, dependent on the profession. Of course, like my husband's an accountant. He literally does have to review and sign off on like the financial statements that are being prepared.
But every single detail.
Please do that. Don't become Enron. But for it, yeah, career dependent. But I think it's generally important to not keep up micromanaging forever. That's like, first off, it's not micromanaging. It's just training if you do it for a time. And then let it go. But it was really, really scary for me because I was like, I sign off on these emails. But then it turns out the solutions like weren't that wild. It's like include you in the podcast, do a photo shoot together, put you on the website, have our weekly emails say Kelsey Kemp and Audrey Bagaris. Not rocket science, but the brain is just like, I can't let go. But once I did, and I gave you some freaking room to be a little expert, I was like, oh my gosh, we're never going back.
Oh, I love it. Well, that also, I was thinking about, you know, talking about the preparation that we were doing and kind of how that came to be or came to fruition during the month, the sabbatical, and the margin that we needed to have that we didn't have before. And I didn't even think about it this way until third week in January and third week of sabbatical or fourth week, whatever it was. And one of my friends got sick and we were supposed to hang out. And I was like, my whole life I've really been, it's fine. You know, like, I'm not going to freak out about things. But I was like, if I get sick, business is not happening. And it was the flu. Like, it was, you know, legit. And I was like, business is not happening. So I just had to think about things differently. And it really made me think about the margin that we worked on creating these systems more so to have the margin for when you were gone for me to be able to handle things without having to contact you. Of course, there was a text here and there. We weren't perfect at it, but
well, I was reaching out to you too. Honestly, sorry, I can't help.
Yeah, I was like, go back to the beach.
How are things going?
Part of me was like, okay, how much do I indulge her in this? And how much do I hold her accountable to her rest? Which was interesting to figure out too. But really just, and then I, you know, thought about, okay, this has been Kelsey for 6 years doing this all on her own. And not being able to create those systems to have margin, because when you're operating as a one-person team, it's just not as realistic. So when we came together, I don't think it was necessarily on our mind, but that's what preparing for sabbatical helped us do, was create this world where we can have margin and we can create space for things to happen. And it's not so day-to-day as things are a lot when you start up a business, I imagine, of just like, okay, what's today's to-do list? And now it's on a bigger scale, which is really, really cool to be, to see that transformation as we're in the middle of it. And then also to obviously be a part of it.
Love it. Which, side note, this is also the reason I came back, because if you get sick, you should have some time off.
Yeah. I didn't get sick, by the way. I did not get sick.
But if you did, if you really felt like you were running this business all by yourself, you would get burnt out like I was before.
Yeah.
Like, we work better in partnership. So I did.
Right.
I am back. And this was like a good 5-week test. And we did receive all these benefits from it. And we're probably just going to keep on growing even more so that we have increased support and cushion and, like you said, margin. And because it is like so exhausting to have a totally solo business. And I don't intend for you to feel like you're running a solo business. And so, yeah, this is why it's good to come back and probably keep on adding to the team. But that's so we could also work to pass the gift along for like whenever you want to walk the Camino. So yeah, a lot of these things are like really key takeaways. Is there anything else that you would say, like what's different now or any lessons to round out as we kind of, I'm thinking the title should, of this episode should be why I, how I took a 5-week sabbatical and why you should too.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think people will be like, yes, tell me. yeah, I want it. Yeah, something that really, I mean, from day one of being back from, you know, the holidays, so January 2nd, it was really apparent to me how, first of all, it's two sides of the same coin. The coin is collaboration. And collaboration is amazing and so good. We've been talking about how important it is to have a partner and a team and everything. But then there's a side of things where collaboration is actually serving as a crutch to push you. Yeah, to push me into more ownership and autonomy in my own decisions and the way that I would approach problems. Because I'm like, oh, problem came up. Let me see what Kelsey wants to do, how she would handle it. And that is a really important training element, right? And just seeing how you've done the business so far. But then when that crutch was completely, you know, quote unquote, completely taken away, I was doing my best not to reach out to you. It's like, okay, I'm going to handle this and I'm going to see how it goes. And, you know, things went well. And I was able to learn that pushing myself into those decision-making, like bigger problem-solving elements was so, so beneficial to my growth, just as beneficial as learning how you would have done it. And then, you know, taking that and applying my own methods too, and taking away that crutch is really the only way that you're going to actually fully grow in that capacity. So that was a big, big thing I learned right away. And then having that lesson, I'm so grateful to have had that lesson really early on in the month so that I could pay attention to it and be really intentional about learning that and taking notes of like things that I would have asked you, but I'm not going to, or like, and seeing that difference. And now coming back, like I asked you a question this morning and I was going back and forth. I was saying, am I going to ask Kelsey this or am I going to handle it on my own? And that's back and forth in my mind is not something that I would have had 2 months ago, because it would have been just, let me ask Kelsey this. Oh, I accidentally gave the thumbs up on iOS.
Your iOS update is hilarious. It like but, does the little bubbles in the hearts.
Yeah, the balloons are my favorite ones. And so having that back and forth is just, it adds such another layer of, I don't want to say complexity, but just value to my own growth process and having more, I guess complexity is the word. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But having more, now I'm going to fix it on that word, but we're going to move right past it. And there's just more value overall. Yes. No, literally, I'm like, gosh.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay. Closing comment is what I thought was just going to be an expense or like something that, you know, it might be hard on everybody, but I have had this goal forever and I'm going to just do it for me. It literally grew the business and it grew you and it grew me. And like literally the cult career as an entity.
Yeah.
How amazing.
Amazing.
Because you did grow while I was gone. And we are amazed. It's just so cool. So praise God. Thank you so much for doing this debrief with me. It is, really exciting and inspiring to people to think about how can, even if it's not for a sabbatical, how can I train up the person behind me? Because that is a part of being a good leader. Always be replacing yourself. Always be replacing yourself. And that includes you too. Obviously, I was kind of hinting on that theme in our post-sabbatical review of like, where do you want to be replaced mm-hmm. in certain areas and what do you want to grow into? And then even if you are in a corporate job, there are actually a good amount of companies that will facilitate, if you ask far in advance, mm-hmm. a month-long sabbatical. So see mm-hmm. if you could do it. And just for context, the book Clockwork, if you're doing it from a small business perspective, I suppose it's similar even from a traditional job perspective. They recommend starting your preparations 18 months in advance. So I did 2 years, and that's realistically about how long it took. So you could see if you could do it a lot faster. I mean, really, when we were like nose to the grindstone, you're on the team full time, I got engaged, it was like 5.5 or 6 months from that time that we were like, okay, now we're really going. But it mm-hmm. took the year before that was a lot of inner work, a lot of preparation to build up the cult career to be able to have you come on. And so just get creative and think about, and I'm sure that, I mean, what's the classic book for this in a traditional job? The 4-hour work week. It's not a pipe dream. You could do it. You could do it. Yeah. So I challenge you to see how and let us know. I love how Mike McCullough, what's at the beginning of the book, he's like, this is my email. Email me when you say, I today commit that on this date, 18 months from now, I am going to go full on. My employees can't contact me. I'm going on sabbatical. That's awesome. And so let us know if you're going to make that commitment. You can hit us up. We have a new info email address, info@thecalledcareer.com mm-hmm. on our contact page of the website. And let us support you.
Yeah.
Cheer you on. Say, woohoo, you go, girl. Or boy.
Yes.
50% you of our person. Audience is male. To my shock.
No, seriously.
Let's go. All right. Peace and blessings. See you next right. week.
Bye.
I'll just end it. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.